Today, we are going to consider the greatest blessing that belongs to the child of God, the exclusive blessing that belongs to everyone who is united by faith to the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the blessing of eternal life, of glory, of being with Jesus forever in His glory. We base our message today on the word that we find in John chapter 17, verse 24. It is part of what is referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer, a prayer that He made on Thursday evening of the Passion Week, the last week of His earthly life. Then, in the presence of His disciples, the Lord Himself prayed a beautiful prayer for His disciples and for us. He concluded that prayer in these words: Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Think about the fact, first of all, that Jesus prays for us. Over all of our life, every minute, hour, and day, this is the prayer that is continually placed by the Savior Himself before the very throne of God. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they might behold My glory. That is a remarkable thing. It ought to impress itself upon our daily lives. Here is our Savior. As I mentioned, Jesus at that point was under the shadow of the cross. He was about to enter into the agonies of the Garden of Gethsemane, where He would fall upon His face and pray three times in sweat and blood. He was about to be bound and crucified and abandoned upon the cross. He was about to be made the sin-bearer for us. Yet, His concern is for us. He brings our needs to the Father. Our tendency, of course, is that we feel so often as children of God that we are quite alone and that no one really understands. We see ourselves as those who are besieged and attacked and left alone, perhaps. This must correct us. We must realize that our Savior prays for us perfectly, powerfully. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. We must not reduce the Lord's prayer for us to I desire. He didn't say I desire. He said I will. He prays, as the Bible teaches us, as one who is equal to the Father, the one who is the victorious Lord and Savior. He prays for us when our hearts are plunged in sorrow and our way is dark and lonely, and when the bands of temptation are strong. If you were to read the entire prayer in John chapter 17, you would see that in His prayer that we be with Him in glory, Jesus has reached the crowning point. He had prayed in that prayer various things, wonderful things. He prayed that we might be kept from the evil of the world and from the devil who was behind that evil, that we would be kept holy with God. He had prayed that we might be made holy and have fellowship with Him in the truth. He had prayed that as the church we might be unified and that we would be established in the unity of His truth. He had prayed that His church and His people would be active in missions in the spread of the truth, especially that this would go forth as we live our life together in the unity of the church in the bonds of the truth. If you read the passage, as I say, you'll find that Jesus' prayer has reached some very beautiful and high themes. But now His prayer has ascended to the crescendo, to the highest point. In His prayer that we are considering at this point, I will, Father, that they be with Me where I am, I say that in that prayer He plants His foot in glory. As the Son of God, as the mighty Savior, He prays in a kingly manner. He brings the petition that we might be brought to the completion, to the apex of our salvation in Him. I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. Note those words, where I am. He didn't pray, he did not pray, where I soon shall be. He was, of course, at that moment in the upper room with his disciples. It was Thursday evening of the Passion Week. But he prays as if he is in heaven. I will, Father, that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. How do you understand that? Well, you see, the Savior is praying in the certainty of God's counsel, of God's eternal plan. He had mentioned that already in verse 4 when he had said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And Jesus knows the Father, and the Father is almighty, and for the Father to plan and to purpose is for it to be accomplished. And therefore, praying in the certainty of the power and the love of God, that God is going to accomplish his heart's desire, and that through his cross God is going to attain a salvation for all of his children, praying in that absolute certainty, he prays, I will, Father, that they whom thou hast given to me be with me where I am. Now note also that he describes those for whom he prays as those whom thou hast given me. I don't know of anything more comforting than that. That's a reference to the biblical truth of election, a word that is used in the Bible. It refers to the truth that God chose, purely out of grace, from the fallen world, those who of themselves were undeserving and of themselves worthy of eternal punishment in hell as any other, but that God chose them from eternity to save them. Jesus believed in this. Jesus believed and taught what is called sovereign predestination. That is, God, as God alone, the sovereign ruler, predetermined, chose merely out of grace those who would be saved. Jesus had prayed about this in verse 6 of the prayer in John 17. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Again in verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. There is, of course, nothing more humbling and more comforting than those words, those whom thou hast given me. As I said, that means that of ourselves, the people of God are undeserving. To be saved does not mean that you distinguished yourself above another, that you did something that another person failed to do. Oh no, you of yourself cannot lift yourself up one inch, one iota from another. To be saved means that the source of salvation is to be found in an eternal, gracious will of God, that God, out of mere grace, has chosen from before the foundation of the world, as we read in Ephesians 1, those who he will give to Christ. Jesus prays, Father, those whom thou hast given me. That too is very important, given me, that is, entrusted to him. You see, we cannot enter into heaven of our own. We have a terrible debt of sin. We have an awful hatred in our hearts against the living God. But to be given to Jesus means that God has given these elect to his Son to redeem them. God has sent his Son on the great mission, the great task of time, to make the way straight, to open the prison, to bring out those who are bound in sin, to save them. Jesus says, I pray for these. Father, I pray for those whom thou hast entrusted to me, those whom thou hast given to me that I might save them. And I pray not only that I might now save them and make them holy people on earth, but, Father, I pray that they may be with me, that they may be brought to the apex, to the completion, to the culmination of salvation, that they might be brought to that eternal purpose and that eternal goal that thou hast in thy heart, that they might be brought home to be with us. You see how glorious a prayer it is? That prayer answers our questions about sudden death, the sudden death of a loved one, who we believe has been snatched away from us. We ask, why? Why does God take them? Why does God take a prospective husband from me killed suddenly in the war in Iraq? Why does God take from me a son? Why does God take from me a beloved wife? Here's the answer. Father, prays Jesus, I will that they be with me where I am. You see, the believer belongs to Jesus Christ. Salvation means that the union of our life is with Christ and his Father. We live now of this present world, but we live as those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ is within us, and Christ has loved the child of God from all eternity. He has done everything for them, and he desires that when the will of God for their life is accomplished, that they be brought to him. You see, so often our will is diametrically opposed and once contrary to the Lord's will. So often we are praying, Father, I will that those who belong to Jesus and I love them, that they be with me on earth where I am, while he prays, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me and for whom I have laid down my life, that they be with me where I am. Do you know the love of God in Christ? Do you know how deep and how powerful and how compassionate is that love? As a mother, you love your son. As a prospective bride, you love that young man. As a husband, you love your wife. But our love as children of God is that which is given us of him. It is a reflection of his for us. He loves perfectly. And he wills that when the will of God is accomplished for each one of his own, that they be brought to him in glory. You see, death for a believer is not caused by heart stopping, by car crash, by cancer, by aneurysm, by bomb or explosion. It is caused by an answer to the prayer of Jesus. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And when thy will, O Lord, is accomplished in their life, and they are as that jewel, fitted and polished according to thy purpose, and now ready for glory, I will that they come to be with me. That is the cause of the death of every child of God. But we ask another question. We can understand now what happens at death. We can understand that the child of God is purchased in that wonderful blood of Jesus and therefore must go to be with him in glory. And we rejoice in that. But we ask another question. What is so important that the child of God be taken to be with Jesus? That is, what is so important that that fact outweighs the pain, the sorrow, and the crushing grief that we experience in death? Well, here's the answer again. First of all, if Jesus had only said that they also be with me where I am, and he had left it at that, that would have been enough, of course. He says more, but that in itself would be enough. To be with Jesus? Children, isn't that reason enough? To be brought into the immediate presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Into the presence of him who is our elder brother, the great shepherd, the bishop of our souls, who is the living water, the everlasting bread, whose love none can measure? And then, to be not only with Jesus, but with all of his saints, 10,000 times 10,000, all together with him? Oh, that's reason enough. But Jesus goes beyond. He gives even a greater reason. He says, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Jesus yearns for all those given him to be with him, that we might see his glory. That's the thing that makes heaven so bright and so wonderful and so worth it. The Bible says that when we see that glory of Christ in an instant, we will understand the reason for all of the sufferings of this present time, and we will be ready in an instant to dismiss them as a light thing. Those things today that are so crushing, that are smashing our souls, what we believe now comes to us without any rhyme or reason and is just too much, and we say there's no answer, and we cry out, "Why, Lord? Look at the mess of my life. My daughter, my wayward son. My path is impossible, Lord." God says, I don't say, God says to you, when you see Jesus in glory, you will say, it was all worth it. I'd undergo more to see such glory. Jesus wants us to behold his glory. Now hear the prayer. Father, bring them all, whom thou hast given to me, for whom I have died, bring them all to be with me where I am in glory, that they might behold my glory, which thou hast given me. To behold that glory is much more than just to see. It's to gaze in wonder and in awe, to be shaken to the very core of your being. It's to see into the heart of God. It's to see grace in God's eyes. When you go to heaven, it will be something like hiking in the Cascade Mountains of Washington or some very beautiful place, and you come around a corner and you come out of the woods and you get above the tree line and suddenly you see it, a vast view all out in front of you of mountains covered with snow, and you gasp in wonder. Now multiply that by infinity. We shall see him as he is. Job in the Old Testament said, I shall see him with my own eyes. Paul said, I will see him face to face. I will see his glory. What is glory? Glory is the outshining of God. Glory is the radiant and the shimmering and the outshining of all that God is, of his love and grace, holiness, righteousness, and truth. Jesus is referring to the glory that the Father hath given to him. That is not only the glory that belongs to him as the eternal Son of God, for as God he is glorious. But he is referring to that glory that was crowned upon him, the glory which thou hast given me, the glory the Father gave to him as the Son of God in our flesh, the one who has taken our body upon himself and humbled himself and rose and ascended, and God has highly exalted him. Philippians 2 verse 9. Jesus did not leave his human body behind, but when he ascended as Lord and Savior, all the glory of God is now revealed in Jesus Christ. It's all to be seen right in his face. The glory of God who forgives sins, the glory of God who in compassion draws us sinners to himself. We will see it. We will behold it. We will keep on beholding it. Listen to him pray. Father, my people have seen me in the flesh. They have seen me a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They have seen me, in the words of the psalm, a worm and no man. They have seen a crown of thorns. They have seen me crucified upon a cross with blood and water oozing from my side. And now, Father, my people throughout the ages have journeyed in faith across the valley of the shadow of death, through the roads of trial to purge them. They have endured grief. Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory, that they may gaze and gaze on me. Children, and I trust children are listening. Children, I don't know very much about what it's like to enter into heaven and what it's like to be there. I can't comprehend that. But you know what? When we die, we will see Jesus, and our hearts will be at peace. and it will feel just right. And then do you know the next thing that's going to happen? You will see that you are changed, and His glory is shining out of you. And now Jesus prays, Father, bring them, direct their steps, rule over their hours and over their minutes, over their smiles and over their tears, and bring them to see my glory. Then we shall be satisfied. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall happen. We shall see Him, and we shall be satisfied. This is no hope so. This is certain. This glory is ours. It belongs to everyone by grace in Jesus Christ, brought to faith and repentance in Him today, being united to Him through faith. This is ours. This glory belongs to us. The prayer is going to be answered. Jesus says, For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus was confident. He was certain that every one that belonged to Him shall be brought to be with Him to behold His glory, because Jesus was confident of the love of God. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Can anything break the eternal love of God for His Son? Can any hand reach up to heaven and break the bond that is between the Father and His Son? No. Well, so sure it is that we shall be with Him in His glory. How are you living? For what are you living? What is important to you? What are you pursuing? Where are you going? Are you concerned about the world and its pleasures, its parties, its drunks, its drinking? What is your weekend all about? Do you apologize to others for your attachment to Jesus Christ? Let this word, let His prayer, enter into our hearts today with all of its power, power for a holy life and all of its beauty to comfort our souls. Do not let one day pass without thinking, Jesus has prayed. He has prayed that I might go home soon to be with Him and see His glory. Pitch your tent a day's journey closer home tonight, and be ready when He summons. Be ready for His call, for He will call to the earth, and we shall be with Him, and we shall see His glory. Father, thanks for Thy word. And now, write it on our hearts, and give us to live in hope, the hope that will never make us ashamed. In Jesus' name, amen.